Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Here we go.
So many thrills.
Oh, hang on.
So many spills.
And we're underway.
So many champions.
Gordon's got it.
First and to one.
Oh, yes.
That was good, sir.
Wow.
So many defeats.
Unbelievable.
Oh. Triple M is proud to present a special podcast series, MG's Decade of Rugby League.
The final episode of our Decade of Rugby League series, MG. It's been comprehensive.
I've enjoyed it. It's kind of a bit of a rejig on what's been happening the last decade that I kind of had to jog my memory on a lot of it. It's been fantastic. It's been a walk down memory lane, hasn't it?
We've talked players. We've talked coaches. We've talked teams. We've talked scandals. We did the 10 moments that mattered most from this decade. I feel like if I had to go on Hard Quiz on the ABC or Sale of the Century back in the day and it was all about the last decade of rugby league, I'd be all over it.
If it was on Jeopardy, I'd be 100 points on league, please. Rugby league.
What is
rugby league for 100 points?
I'll take the last decade of rugby league for $200. Thanks, Alec. Now, this last one's going to be something a little bit different. No defined topic, as it were. This is just going to be a little bit of a mixed bag. We're going to jump around, move it. I've got some off-the-cuff questions about the decades and things we haven't got to.
Yep.
Started off with an unofficial little award. Who, for you, has been the biggest character of the last decade of rugby league?
Oh, man.
Because there have been some.
There's been some. There's been a lot. There's been guys like Conrad Harrell and Manu Vatavai and...
Oh, the beast.
Georgie Rose, And then we look at some of the English imports that have graced us. Sonny Bill Williams has been a character, but a kind of an unwanting character.
Mm. Bo Ryan's got to be in there.
Bo Ryan's in there. I think the English influx of...
James Graham,
Sam Burgess.
Oh, yeah,
I couldn't go past James Maloney, I don't think. I think Jimmy Maloney's been probably the character of the last decade. He's played in a few grand finals. He's won one or two. Every time he gets an interview, it's something different from Jimmy. He's always dry, but he's always up for a chat. And I think he's one of them guys that's got such a dry wit that... He would be my vote for the character of the decade, I think.
Sammy Thaiday. Another consideration as well. I think you could almost split it along state lines, this one, MG. Mm. I think if you ask Queenslanders who their character of the decade is, they would say Sam Thaiday.
Yep.
Because he is a bloke who, and you've already seen it in retirement, he's transitioned beautifully into the media because he does have that larger-than-life personality. He's relaxed, he's laconic, he's funny, he's got that natural ease to him. And then James Maloney... South of the border, I couldn't agree more. For mine, I just think he is the player that has been most comfortable in his own skin, almost, off the field.
Yeah, and I know he played probably most of the decade beforehand, but Willie Mason would go into that.
Oh, big Willie.
Willie's a character of the game who provided untold laughs and he's a real character. The list would go on, I suppose, it is a question without notice, but every team has got a character in their team, but we are seeing less of them. Which is a worrying trend.
Yes, and I think to that point, the reason James Maloney has been so loved, even though he's disappeared for colder shores from next year, is because the characters are becoming thinner and thinner on the ground. I don't know what it is, whether the system, whether, clubs, what it is, or the just general fear of the media or social media, I don't know what. But the need for, that's what the game is sold on. The game is sold on not just the performances on field, but these athletes having profile about them.
Accessibility. That's what it's all about. We want access to our stars. The young kids want to see their stars. They want to hear their stars. They want to be able to think that they can touch their stars, not just through social media, but in person.
Mm. And look, Damien Cook, is one of these characters currently.
Paul Vaughan.
Paul Vaughan, one of these characters currently. The Trbojevic boys.
Yes.
Jake a little bit more so than Tom.
Yep.
You know, these are
basically guys who never say no. When you like, and we're just going on the last 2 years of our show when we've bring up when we bring up guys.
Josh Reynolds is Josh somebody Reynolds. That probably could have been spoken about too in this.
Yeah, Josh Reynolds, Wade Graham, Benji Marshall. They never say no. Benji Marshall's been a great character
Benji
the last
Marshall's decade. Been well, actually probably unfair about he's New Zealand's character of the decade.
I think
so. If Queensland takes Sam Thaiday, New South Wales take James Maloney, New Zealand get Benji.
And James Graham can be England's.
And James Graham.
There we okay. go. There we go.
So that is MG and I well and truly sitting on the fence when it comes to character of the decade. Hard man of the decade, MG. I'm putting this on you. This is your wheelhouse.
I think it's Sam Burgess. Mm. I think it's him or Hargraves.
Yes.
Then you could probably throw in Paul Gallen. The three of them, I think, would vie for the hardest man of the last decade.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the way they play, James Graham could even be in that conversation as well, the way he plays. But I think maybe Papali in the last few seasons. But I think the first two names I think about are Burgess and Hargraves. And then I think of Paul Gallen. And then I think of someone like, Papali or someone who's just a tough bugger, but yeah, them first two names stand out.
It's interesting, isn't it, that they're those matchups that you want to see. They're those forwards one-on-one forward battles you want to see. The one that actually jumps to mind, and not that it was a long running thing for the decade, but that moment, I think it was earlier this year or late last year, Connie Harrell at the Titans and Tarek Sims at the Dragons.
Yeah.
Where they just said, I'm going after you. Not once, not twice. This is going to be an ongoing thing. And then the mutual respect at the end of the game was outstanding.
Yeah, and that's what you want to see in a game. Nate Miles gets another mention.
He's a
very hard man of the Queensland Rugby League team. It's
Matt Scott.
Matty Scott. Dallas Johnson towards the latter stage.
Earlier the decade,
Yeah, but it's then you get the little guys who are against the odds, playing against these guys. Yeah, Cooper Cronk could be one of the hard men of the decade.
Kieran Foran.
You know, it's a lot of people define hard in different ways. To me, it means menacing. Tough is defined in many ways for me. I think any player can be tough as far as running out the rugby league field in first grade. You've got to be tough. But as being hard and being a guy, I'm judging this solely on if I looked up in the defensive line, who wouldn't I run at?
Yeah.
And that's Hargraves and Burgess.
And Sam Burgess. All right, like it. All right, MG, this is a big blanket I'm asking you to throw over the decade. And I've got a thought as well, but who won it? Player, team, coach, off-field official, who won the decade?
It's a very good question. I'd have to say Cameron Smith.
Yeah, I think I've got to agree.
I'd have to say Cameron Smith won the decade with all the records he broke, with the competitions he won, with the run they had with the Origin Series. I think Craig Bellamy and Trent Robinson have got to enter the picture as well in the conversation. I think Mal Meninga's got to join the conversation as well. But I think deep down inside, I think Cameron Smith won the decade.
Yeah, when you look at it from State of Origin, international, club level, he was involved in all of it. And then as we mentioned in an earlier podcast, first man in 111 years to play 400 games of first grade in the NRL.
We'll never see it again. That's my prediction. We'll never see that happen again. The game's getting tougher and harder and faster. I think it'd be hard to hit 300 games, let alone 400.
All right, well, we're giving it to him unanimously. Cam Smith won the decade. MG, next one.
That would have going
to
give him a gold ring or something? Or
his trophy cabinet's full, mate. He doesn't need anything for us. And I don't think we've got the budget for him. And, you know, with the Melbourne Storm salary cap history, I think if we did give him something, we might get him in trouble. Which set of fans do you think is most happy to see the back of the 2010s?
Oh, wow.
Which set of fans are most excited about getting into the 2020s, wiping the slate clean and going, this is our decade?
The two that pop out are Titans and Warriors fans, more so Titans. Knights, you could throw in there, Panthers fans, Dogs fans, Tigers fans. I suppose any team.
I'm asking you to pick one set of fans.
Oh, you got to say Titans. Like, really, 2007, they came in the competition. They've made the finals, I think, once. you know, they they've just been the perennial underachievers. And I really, really, really hope that Justin Holbrook grabs his team by the neck and with the help of his big mate Mal Meninga and starts to see some start to see them strive for some glory. Because I think we need a team like the Gold Coast going well. We don't want to see teams lost to the game.
No, absolutely.
We don't want to see, you know, I know when we talk about expansion, I want to see another team like from Perth or the Central Coast or New Zealand. Queensland's got their three teams. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let's persevere with the Titans, but it's time they come good, and I really hope they come good.
Can I throw a set of fans a bit of left field at you?
Go for it.
The Broncos fans.
Yeah.
Let me pitch my case. Their best result in this last decade, we think it's a one-team town. They are the most powerful club in rugby league. Their best result was losing a grand final in 2015 this decade.
Yeah, they won a comp what, since 2006?
2006. They've had the up and down. For a club that we associate with being so steady and staunch from a coaching perspective under Wayne Bennett, they had Henjack in 2010. Then they had the Griffin years from 11 to 14. Then they had Bennett years again from 15 to 18.
Yep.
And now they've got Seibold. For them to go through four coaches in this decade.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think as far as the mega clubs, inverted commas, mega clubs go, the Broncos fans can't wait to see the back of 2000 and or the decade that was.
Yeah.
Because you're right. They've had a shocking, you know, last 15 years,
and we say that by their standards.
Well, they've got the whole of Brisbane to pick a team from. You know, we keep saying that, you know, this, all these young kids are coming through the Titans, but usually they get lost to other clubs. Well, they've got to start to hold on to them, and likewise, you know, say to Brisbane, you don't want to just be a breeding ground for other teams to take your team.
Yeah, exactly right. I think the Broncos.
I think you're right.
Are the set of fans that are most looking forward to getting?
Because they promised so much.
Yeah, exactly.
And delivered so little.
Exactly. Yeah. They promised the world, they delivered an atlas.
Yeah, you're right, mate.
All right, MG. Well, since we are on the doorstep of a new decade of rugby league, let's play Nostradamus here.
Okay.
Let's do a little bit of forecasting for the 2020s. What's going to happen?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
What? All right. Well, let's start it off. Which team do you think is best placed heading into the 2020s? Which club?
Oh, that's a very hard question to answer. That's very, very hard. I'd say Penrith, Parramatta, and probably the Roosters. Are the three clubs that I think going into the 2020s are looking probably the best. I don't know. It's
a tough question.
Well, it's based on juniors. I base Penrith and Parramatta on juniors. Sooner or later, you've got to start feeling the fruits of their labour, bearing the fruits of their labour. And Roosters are just, they continue to be the benchmark.
Yeah.
As long as you're the benchmark, you're going to be the hunter, the hunted. They were, and every team's after them. Every team's after what they've got. And so that'll make them better as well.
And I think most importantly for the Roosters is they've got the Trent Robinson, their coaching is sorted.
Yes.
You know, Trent Robinson is there, he's embedded, he's won things, and he can coach there probably now for as long as he wants.
Of course he can.
So that immediately removes any uncertainty.
It's amazing what winning a competition does for you. That gives you an extra 5 years.
Exactly. And look, Penrith, who you spoke of, they've got that level of certainty, not because they've won it, but because they locked down both Ivan Cleary and Nathan Cleary to those long deals.
Yeah, and the fact that they went through such turmoil last year with Griffin and you know, that will never happen again.
Mm. I also like, we spoke about the fact that the Broncos are glad to see the back of the last decade. I like them heading into this decade.
I do too. I do too. I know you can't win a competition with just forwards, but
once you need them.
Well, you need, and they've got the best. They've potentially got the best just in
and
two.
And they're young.
And they've got potentially the two best players in the competition in the next couple of years, Haas
and
Fifita. As long as I stay away from Bale.
But I like the Broncos for those forwards. Seibold is
I like Seibold.
And they've got him down for a long term.
Yep, I like Seibold. I think he got thrown in the deep end, so to speak, without a life jacket, and he just had to sink or swim. He's
been treading water.
He sunk. Then he got the tread. He got his legs pedaling like a little duck underwater. And he somehow made it into the top eight.
But it was always going to take him time to make the team his own.
Yeah, well, slowly but surely he'll do that.
Yeah.
And slowly but surely, you know, he's still got, when you've got someone like Darius Boyd on 2 more years of a contract worth $800,000, that's not Seibold's fault.
No.
You know, he'll start to see. I don't know what, just on that, I don't know why they didn't sit down and I don't know why cool heads didn't prevail with Darius Boyd. Like, I know that everyone knows, you know, he's the whipping boy of the Broncos at the moment, but why can't
unfairly
they come,
too.
Why can't they come to a deal and say, look, we'll give you this year, you know, play 2020.
Yeah.
But for the following year, how about is it 2 years or 1 year?
He's got 2 more years on his
deal. Okay, so for 2021, how about instead of giving you that $800,000 we want to put to buy two young superstars, how about we put you on the books as a player, as a coaching staff, and we give you, you know, over 4 years, $200,000.
Yeah. I don't know the answer.
I think if you'd sat down and reasoned with Darius about him going forward and what, you know, I don't think Darius is enjoying his footy.
Do you know who probably could have had that conversation? Wayne Bennett. But he's not there anymore.
Yeah.
It's a different world.
Yeah, of course it is.
Anyway, but look, I think those teams you mentioned, the Roosters, obviously, Parra and Penrith, because of the youth of their player list and the profile of their playing list, it looks good. And obviously the Broncos, just those forwards. Now, which moves us nicely into the players of the next decade. You just mentioned two names there, Fifita and Haas, who are both teenagers. So they've got this whole decade to grow into themselves.
Well, they have, which is scary for their opponents at both, you know, club and origin and representative level, because they are going to be, for the next 5 years at least, they're going to be the forwards who you got to try and beat. You know, as I said on the rush hour a couple of weeks back, the players that are going to be the best players of 2020 and on probably aren't in first grade yet. Probably haven't been given the opportunity. There's some kid who's probably listening to this show right now, saying this podcast right now, saying that it's going to be me. It's going to be me. Well, I hope it is, because Kalyn Ponga come from nowhere, and the superstars usually do.
You'd have to say he's going to be one of the players in the next decade. He's still only 21.
Yeah, yeah. He's definitely one of the players of the next decade. And there's some young guys coming through that, you know, Folau, I think it's Willie Taulau. At the Tigers. Willie Taulau is his dad, so young Taulau at Tigers is a great young player. We see them. There's one at the Sharks in Bronson Sherry. Zach Lomax, I think, can be one of them players if he gets an
20
opportunity.
20 years old, Zach Lomax.
You know, it's just all about opportunity. Who knows who's going to be the players? But if we had the judge right now, you've got to say that a couple of them come from Brisbane. One of them comes from Newcastle. Melbourne Storm, who knows what they'll produce. They always produce something.
Well, Pappenhausen
could be.
Yeah.
Pappenhausen could be.
Do you know
Billy Smith from the Roosters could be the guy taking over from Luttrell.
There's a bloke who has already achieved a lot. He'll be 25 heading into next year. Cam Munster.
Yeah.
Still
a baby.
He's still 25 years of age.
Yeah, he's still got foreseeably 8 years in him.
He's still got at least 8 years of football in him. And unlike some of these younger guys we've spoken about who still are very much being talked about on potential, his reputation is established.
I'll give you that Cam and raise you another Cam in Cam Murray.
Oh, good call. Lock of the year, Dally M.
I think he's going to be a mainstay in all rep footy for the next at least 5 or 6 years. And I think, along with Cameron Munster, these two.
He's 21.
Yeah, he's 21. Cool. There's nothing. Well, next decade, he's going to be in that side, barring injury, touch wood. He'll be part of the New South Wales and Australian team for the next 10 years.
Do you know who else we haven't spoken about? Who's only 23 years of age?
Valentine Holmes.
Tom Trbojevic.
Yeah.
He's 23.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if we look at that, there's just, and you know, we could rattle down the list, but if you look at the names you've just mentioned there, there's those kids who are still very young and are talked about from a potential perspective. Dave Fifita, Payne Haas, Zach Lomax, Kalyn Ponga is 21, but we know what he is.
Yeah.
And then you talk about those other names. Cam Murray, 21. Tom Trbojevic, 23. Munster on the slightly higher age profile of 25.
Young Blake Brayley at Newcastle, the younger brother of Jaden. Like, these guys who have looked elsewhere for opportunities, look for them to break out of the box and start to say, look at me, I'm keen.
The game is in, when it comes to a Stars perspective, the game is in great.
Fantastic shape.
Great shape.
Fantastic shape.
All right, MG. Well, with the clubs, we know who's best placed, the players that we might see dominate the next decade. Do you expect to see an evolution in rugby league in the next 10 years? Any evolution in, is there a playing style? Is there a coaching style? Is there, a body shape or a position that's, you know, because it feels like over the last 2-3 years, the fullback has become the most dominant player, and probably for longer than that. But
they're the most expressive by far. You say you want a revolution or evolution, are you saying? I really think that, you know, how far can we go? Where's the bar? I mean, players are as big and strong as we need them to be, I suppose. And as we mentioned earlier, there's no shoulder charges, no chart, there's no punching anymore. What's next? Helmets in this game? I think we've got to really take a good stock of. Well, we've got to have a. I think we've got to look at less wrestle would be nice. Which good luck trying to get that out of the game. Less structure would be nice, but good luck trying to get that out of the game. Less robotic. So the one way to do all that is less interchange. The one way to fix everything that you think is wrong in rugby league is quite easy to fix. You take two off the interchange bench and you have an 18th man who purely covers HIA incidents.
Yep.
And we see a faster, I'm watching some of these games on Fox Footy Channel from the 80s and the 90s, and even the attacking teams were like 3 or 4 metres back from the dummy half. There was no chance of the hooker ever throwing a forward pass.
Yep.
Ever. Because the ball player had time to do a little bit of the ball and before the defense was on him. But now, as soon as the blade gets the ball, the defense is a meter away from him.
I feel like I could recite your argument on this so many times. Have I heard you say it? That once if the interchange goes down, fatigue becomes a factor, and the small men can start influencing the game later on.
That's how long I've been saying it. We've known it. We've been on the show for 2 years now, and I think I've said it 10 times.
You've said it enough. The evolution or the growth that I think, from my perspective, in the next 10 years you'll see, is going to be around this women's game and the women's competition. Are there. The more than the green shoots are there now. I think Todd Greenberg and the NRL setting it up beautifully to expand steadily, not too fast, because I don't think the talent, the depth in the talent pool is there right now. But the green shoots are there.
I've got a 12-year-old daughter who's talking about it. That's their demo. That's who they want to be targeting.
The other thing, which I know is your, and again, I think I could hear you, I could recite your argument around it, expansion. In 10 years' time,
Perth.
We'll be in Perth.
Perth. I think we've got to have another look at a team from Sydney relocating to the Central Coast. And we've got to look at another Brisbane team as well.
Brisbane team.
I think 18-team comp, we have one round a year. We stop for Origin. We play some games like the Pacific Island test matches. We play the Origin. We play the girls' Origin. We have a little – the guys who aren't doing anything, say, go away for a month. Off you go. And actually, for 1 week of that, like the All-Stars do in the basketball in America, we're going to have a week of All-Star games. We're going to find out who's the strongest, the fastest, the fittest out of the guys who aren't involved in the current test matches. And I just think we've got to get to a stage where it's going to be a little, like the NFL, less is best.
Less is best, exactly right, MJ. We know that there's a Papua New Guinea team. The Kumuls are in the Queensland Cup. Todd Greenberg told us recently that there's a Fijian team looking to come into the New South Wales Cup.
The Sharks have aligned with them. They're going to be the Sharkies feeder club.
Which is a fantastic initiative, and it's a smart move by the Sharkies. It's the growth is in the Pacific area for rugby league and the women's game, I think.
You know what, man? The future's so bright. I've got to wear shades.
Exactly right. All right, there it is. We are done. The 2010s have been torn to absolute shreds by this podcast series, MG.
I'll see you in 10 years' time for the 2020s, the decade that was.
Hope you've enjoyed it. If you have and you've got some friends who haven't heard it, give it to them. Send it to them. Share it.
Yeah, present. There's a present.
There's a present.
There's a stream.
Here's 6 presents.
He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, spread the love and stay random.